I'd like to have you start find Romans 5:8 and Ephesians 2:11. And I'd like to start out by saying, God loves you. And because He loves you, He sent His Son that died for us on Calvary's cross. I'm going to try to do something a little different. I'm going to try to give a little bit of my testimony of how I came to being saved and the grace message. And I'm quite sure, and the reason I picked it to do it this way, and my theme here was words of the Lord that changed my life. The words of the Lord that changed my life came from this book, the Bible. And I want to start out, Jesus loves you. Start with Romans, go to Romans 5:8. But God committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I started here. The way that I'm going to try to do this is that God's view and where I was at. God's view is, but Christ died for me when I was yet a sinner. Lost. Didn't know. I did not know. And the position that I was in at the time, and then I'll get to the verse that changed my life when I have to come forward to the second page for to get to that position. Ephesians 2, I'm going to turn up here to Ephesians 2. Now, Romans 8 is God's view, and Ephesians 2 is God's view about where I was before I came to the Lord. And many of us, we came to the Lord, some of us have been saved 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 years. And sometimes we forget where we once was before we get saved, we got saved, and the Lord put us into the grace message. We have a tendency to get a little lackadaisy, lazy, and not outright sin, but we get into habits of the flesh. And the flesh is contrary to the Word of God. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This was my position before I became saved. I was in the world. I didn't have any hope at all. I was without God. Come to a point in my life to where I wanted something new in my life, but I didn't know how to get it. And I didn't know nothing about it. But in the process of time, I was living at that time, I was living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I go downtown to the mall is downtown in Milwaukee on Wisconsin Avenue, and a young girl walked up to me and she handed me a Bible tract and said, "Jesus loves you." Wow. Now, I was looking for something. Didn't know what I was looking for. But she handed me this Bible tract. Hey, you know, you know, but I didn't do that. I took it and put it in my pocket. So, you know, process of time. The next, turn to 1 Timothy 2 and 1. I'm trying to give you the process of where I was. God's position for me. This was God's position for me. Who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, I wasn't saved. I didn't know no truth. I didn't know nothing. I was just a man in the world without God, walking day to day in the lusts of the flesh, the mind, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, as a young man, I went to church. Hey, my mother said, hey, get up out of that bed. It's Sunday. You're going to church, boy. You know what I mean? So I went to church because my mother made me go to church. I knew all of the Bible stories. The David and Goliath, the three boys in the fiery furnace, the Easter story, the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, you know, to me, as a young man, these were nothing but stories to me. Because I didn't know God. All I know is that all the girls went to church on Sunday, and I was going, and Mama gave me a certain amount of money to go to church, and I could take that money, put it in my pocket, and I could go to the show, because it was only 10 cents, 10, 15 cents. So, you know, I knew some Bible. But the word was just stories that I heard when I went to church. Okay, now, the Bible says, turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. And I'm dealing with my condition. God's view of me, God's word, of what God has already had done, and where I was at, and why I was where I was at. In verse 3 it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I was lost and I was blind. Satan had blinded me. I was took by the gazing of the alcohol, the drugs, the women, and the lifestyle of the world. Similar to Lot, when Lot went into Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, when Lot chose, he chose because he saw the lights and the glitter. Well, I was into that. I was an entertainer. I was into that type of life. But it just, you know, it was not for me. The gospel was hid. I had heard the Bible spoken of, but I was blinded and I didn't hear it. When you read in Acts 7, just going to jump off here a minute, give you something to think about. Acts 7, when Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, and he preached. Stephen, when you go into Acts 7 and you read, Stephen gives probably one of the best views of Jewish life all the way up till you get to the stiff-necked, uncircumcised, where they stoned him and they killed him and they throw their coats down at a man's feet by the name of the apostle. Well, he was Saul at that time. He wasn't Paul. He was Saul. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, he heard Stephen preach an awesome message by the Holy Ghost. Paul, it went in one ear and out the other ear. Paul did not hear it. Paul had the coat, and they killed him. They killed Stephen. And I was thinking, it's the same way, kind of similar with me. I had heard a lot of Bible stories. Every now and then I would catch something on television, but I never really heard it. And like, I wanted my life to change, but I didn't know how. I had no idea of how my life was going to change. But in 1975, it wasn't long after this young girl had given me a Bible track, I decided, well, I was tired of Milwaukee, and I'll move back to Canton. I moved back to Canton, Ohio, and a friend that went to University of Miami, was down and was at the University of Miami, he had just got saved, full of the Holy Ghost. And every time I go over to his house, he preached to me and witnessed to me. Now, Donald was more like my older brother, and we were very close. And I could see in him that there was a difference. I'm quite sure a lot of you have come up on some of the similar situations as to where a friend or someone witnessed to you about Jesus Christ and you didn't know him. You know, you got to think back sometimes, because some of us, it's been years since you got saved or you were in that position to where that happened to you. But see, because now we're new creations in Christ, so we think a little different, but we're still in this suit, the flesh. And back in 1975, listening to, I don't know how many of you know him, Dr. Oliver B. Green. I got saved one night on a radio program listening to him. And that Bible tract that that young girl gave me, I took it out and I marked it in there that day. That was my birthday. That was the day I got, I was birthed in 1975. And I didn't change right away. I have some habits that I took along with me. But as I grew, I listened to J. Vernon McGee, Billy Graham, Jack Van Epi, and each, I was telling somebody else earlier today, each one of these people that I heard, I prayed the sinner's prayer with them. I got saved. I think I got saved 50, 60, 7,500 times praying the sinner's prayer. And in praying the sinner's prayer and the reading of the Word of God, and the passage that changed my life to the grace message. I'm reading, you start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where they tell you to go, start in John and read through. So you read through, you're on fire for the Lord. You want all that you can get because you want to know who Jesus Christ is. So you're grabbing this and you're grabbing this here. And you know something? You wouldn't miss church for nothing in the world. Because Sunday, he's going to say something that you don't want to miss. You know? And that's why I was saying earlier that if we've been saved a while, sometimes we get a little lazy. Well, I'm not going to go to church today. Bad deal, because when you miss coming to church, you miss a message that God has just for you. It's just for you. I can't explain it, but you go there and you sit down and you'll say, he'll go through zoo, 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 and then all of a sudden you'll hit something that'll hit home. Whether it's, you know, sickness, whatever it is, the pastor's going to hit on something that's going to hit home with you. Don't miss. I'm reading through, and I get to Matthew 10. Turn to Matthew 10. And you know, even today, when I hear pastors preach, all of these gentlemen back here that I can think of, their main theme was, this is the Great Commission. It's to all of us. And I ask a lot of preachers, can you explain this passage? Whew, man, I heard a little bit of everything. I'm quite sure that y'all, you ask somebody about Matthew 10, you know, unless they're a grace believer, they may not understand it. Let me grab this here and read this here, man. Here we go. I'll drop down to verse 5, and then we'll come here. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I have read this passage quite a few times in going through the Bible. Wow, I'm saying, no, this ain't, something is wrong here. Now, if you went to college and a professor come up on this passage right here, I'm quite sure every one of you would want to took that passage home and cipher down through that and come back there so you could get an A in that class. Now, the answer to it was in the passage. I'm figuring it's a trick question here. You know what I mean? But the answer to go not, let me read right here again here. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. It's exactly what it says. Well, I'm not a Jew, so I must be a Gentile. So, you know, I'm saying, well. So I read on. Let's jump to Matthew 15. God does this. That's why he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In studying, you're going to come across things like everybody said, well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. Well, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. There's the dispensational issues that crop up in the Bible in understanding of what's where it goes, to who it goes to. 15. The Canaanite woman. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she careth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, you know, when you're a young Christian, God didn't put everything in one spot for you to just go in there, grab it, and go. You got to go in there and search for it, to find it. And when you search for it to find it, you got it. You got it in here, and now you got it in here. You got to hide it and keep it here because the devil is coming for that information to get it out of you, to get you off of your position of where you're at in into something else that's foolishness. When he, let me get this here. How am I here? I'm figuring out now, what do you do with this verse? Now, it wasn't long, I didn't have, wouldn't have understood it if I had it at the time. Romans 15:8. Romans 15, I didn't have that in my vocabulary. See, you know, as we go through our Christian life, we go through, starting over here, and we go across here. I'll say it like this. If you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that he shed his blood for you, and you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, God saves you coming across you. You ain't got to do nothing. It's a free gift. You got that. But now, God says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Okay, now, when you study the book and you rightly divide the book, you go into it, you learn some things as we go across here. One of these days, there's some of us that are in that category who just got saved, and that was enough for me. I used to say, if I can just get a seat in heaven, I'll be satisfied. But I done got to a point now where I want more than just a seat when I get there. And God has jobs. We think we're going to go up there and play harps and eat grapes and have a party 24/7. Well, wait a minute. God has jobs for us. And those certain jobs that God's have, God's going to give them to faithful men. Faithful men. It's like the faithful men that sounded out the gospel. When the gospel went out, faithful men, God gave it to Paul. Paul gave it to Timothy, and Timothy gave it to faithful men, and faithful men gave it to faithful men, to faithful men, to somebody who gave it to a young girl who gave me a Bible tract and said, Jesus loves you. We all have a job. Whether or not, you know, it's the job of just coming into church on Sunday, helping the pastor put out the stuff, or maybe just bringing the donuts and the coffee in the morning. God has a job for each and every one of us. And that's going to profit us when we get up there to heaven. You may not think it. Don't let Satan trick you into thinking, hey, well, you know what? I can go on vacation today. I ain't got to go to church today. Or I ain't got to go do this here. I'll miss this day. You're missing out. And you, when you get to heaven, you're going to be sad or sorrowful. I'm probably saying it the wrong way. But you'll know that you didn't give God your best 24/7. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you need to say to yourself, hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And look to give God the best in your walk all day long. And witness. As a believer, I know a lot of preachers. A lot of preachers. I never had one preacher ever witness to me. From up in the pulpit, I've heard them preach to me. But I never had one preacher. Now, they had to know that I was an ungodly sinner with a lot of the things that I... Because, hey, look, a lot of them knew me. I was a razor. And none of them ever witnessed to me. And that bothered me as I got older. And once I got saved, that bothered me. How come nobody ever took the time to say to me, "Hey, Leon, had you ever thought about changing your life? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know that he died for you on Calvary's cross?" Nobody ever said that to me. Now, but that's, you know, I got to that. Okay. I could say Matthew 10 started me to understanding the Bible. The faith aspect of what took place over here with Jesus Christ, and then the facts that I'm out of Adam and I'm in Jesus Christ. But now, once you get up here to the facts, you start in Romans and you get into the facts, well, you need to rightly divide them. If you don't rightly divide the facts, you're going to have confusion. And like I say, Matthew 10 opened my eyes to a lot of things. And I remember as I listened to Stam, when Stam came on back in those days, he introduced Richard and another gentleman. I listened to them every day they came on because that's where my food was at. I mean, and then I grew. Went to Ted's church for a minute. One or two times I came to Ted's church. But Ted was way down the road and Ed was in Kent. So I went there and God fed me. Boom, boom. Richard's son out, Ricky out in Arizona, fed me. Every one of the preachers that have ever come up here and stood in this possession, I was able to sit down at their table and get a good meal. And I was blessed. And I like to thank God for each one of the you ministers that have come up here and preach the word of God to each one of us out there who are hungry for the word. And I'd like to say, I hope that we stay hungry for the word of God, because the word of God is the power of God. I listen to preachers say all the time, "Well, you know, I want to get back to Pentecost." They don't even know what Pentecost really was all about. And that men of God who have been preaching for 30, 40, 50 years failed to rightly divide the word has caused them to preach a message that's empty. And they'll get up and they'll say they can't understand how come things are going the way that it's going. Now, I'm going to say this here right out. God Satan has the world. He don't have to do nothing to get them. He already got them. It's us who know the gospel rightly divided that he's coming after. And if he can get you not to stand in your position in the word of God, and if you're a failure to read the book and to get the information out of it, woe is you. You know what I mean? When Satan comes at you with his attacks, who are you going to fight him with? I mean, your hands are too short to box with the devil. He's already won the battle from the jump. The minute that you think that you're smarter, that you can do what you want to do, or et cetera, in life. Our refuge is in Jesus Christ. Similar to the exact same way when God told Noah, he said, hey, come into the ark. Now, Noah took his whole family and went in the ark. They were in safety in that ark. Now, if Noah coulda, I'm quite sure that next door neighbor was knocking on the door. Hey, Noah, I know you're in there. Open the door, let me in. But once God locked the door, it was over. There was nothing that Noah could do. They were locked out. They had 100 years. They had 100 years of hearing the gospel and just a handful of got saved, souls got saved. And God's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he gave that message to Paul about the cross. 2,000 years. He's been holding grace off and holding it off and prolonging it and prolonging it so we can get some souls saved and get them in so they don't end up going to hell. But people, you know what? They're breaking down the door to get in to hell. They are. I mean, you know, you think about it, you look at the world, the way the world is today. You know, you used to could bind a deal on a handshake with a man. You didn't even know him. You could handshake him. Guaranteed he's going to do what he ever said he was going to do. One of the best testimonies I ever heard. A rich multimillionaire owned a business. His Christian brother. And he made a multi-million dollar deal. What he would do is he would sell off part of his company, use the money for other things in his company, and then at a later date buy it back. But in the time that the deal was going down, the stock on the company went way over. He didn't have to sell it. But he had made a handshake deal with a guy that he was going to sell it to him. Christian man. That's the way that it was. He sold the guy the company. He lost a lot of money. But honestly, I'm 75. I know there's quite a few of me older than me that remember those days when times were different and you could make a deal with a handshake. If a person said they was going to do something, they did it. You know, things have changed. And that's the way of the world. And you know, that's the world that I came out of. That's the world I lived in. I wasn't a bad sinner. That's how I thought. Wait a minute. That's what I thought. Me and a friend of mine used to say all the time, well, I'm not a bad sinner. You know what I mean? I'm light, lukewarm sinner. I was the worst sinner out there. Like Paul said, hey, I was the worst sinner out there and didn't even know it. But God knew it. And this is like he says, you know, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. You know, and don't you ever forget what Jesus Christ has done for you. It's an easy thing out here with sickness. Like our church, we have quite a few people who are up in age, and sickness has touched them. You know, and I'm quite sure that's in a lot of other churches. We're an older church, and we're a small church. You know, but God has blessed us in our church, and I understand. Every Grace church that I've been in, I know Satan don't like that church, and he's got his demons or devils at that church for one thing or another. It's a natural thing. Sickness and disease, that come with us from the fall of Adam. You know, and I hear people getting healed, but you know, we already have a healing. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That new man, that man inside of you, do you know something? He ain't never going to get sick. He's going to have that long, good-looking hair again. You know what I'm saying? On all his teeth. He's going to be perfect. He is perfect. You know what I mean? But we're still in this old suit. And this old suit is decaying very fast as we age. And Satan takes advantage of it. You know, we want to go out, go on vacation and do this and this and this and that. And the things that's most important to us is the Word of God. What's in this book? What's in this book? If it ain't in this book, you're in trouble. Now, a lot of people like to say, well, you know, you're overboard with this here. But, you know, one day, we're all going to give account. You're not going to give account for your wife, your kids, anybody else. You're going to give account for you. Y-O-U. And you're going to stand before God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to look at you. And he's going to look at you. And he knows every thought you ever had. Everything you ever done, he knows it all. You're not going to be able to around him. And you're going to know that he knows. Give him your best. Give him your best now. That when you stand before him, he'll say, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, well done, well done. Oh yeah, one more little thing. I'm going to end it early. Earlier than I thought. Turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians 3. Grab first Genesis 2 and John 19 and 30. We'll grab that. We'll go to Genesis 2 first, just for let me start here, Genesis 2, and I'll try to close this up. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works, which he had made. God rested. After he created all things, he rested. We turn to John 19. Let's see if I get it right here. 1930. Good year. That was my birthday, though. We have it. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. God finished creation over here. The fall of man in here. As to where God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, look, they're going to mess up down there. We got to get a deliverer, someone to pay that debt. Jesus Christ came, was promised in Genesis, and redeemed us. Here in this passage here, Jesus Christ says, it is finished. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ for all believers everywhere was finished at the cross when he hung his head there. It was finished at the cross where he shed his blood for each and every one of us. Satan don't want you to know that it's finished. Because we're alive and still walking around, and God has not come back to finish the work of the promise of the kingdom. We're still here. But the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is finished. And the evidence of that is the new creation. We're all new creations. We're sitting, the real you is on the inside of you as a believer. He don't have that glorified, that's the only thing that he don't have is the glorified body. He's got all the healings. He's got all the promises. He has everything that God has to offer us that we're going to have up there with him right now. He has, but he doesn't have the new body. And Satan's plan, Ephesians 6, this is why Ephesians 6 is important. He says, stand. And having done all, stand in who you are in Jesus Christ. Who you are, know who you are in Jesus Christ, and how you are who you are in Jesus Christ. Let me say that one more time. Know who you are and how you are in Jesus Christ. And that comes from reading in Romans through Philemon. That's how you know who you are in Christ. You're a new creation. You're perfect in Jesus Christ. Perfect in him. That's a new man. That ain't this guy walking around here. You know what I mean? Because he'd do anything. He's subject to do anything at any time. Say anything at any time. But you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. So walk ye in him. Walk in him. Let him put you on and let people see Christ in you as you move. You know what I mean? It can be in something really little in life. Young girl that walked up to me that gave me the Bible tract. I could see in her face. I look back now, I can see in her face. Jesus loves you. Wow. But there was a different look in that young lady's face. You know, there was Christ in her that touched me, that moved me. It was a process going on. Maybe I got it wrong, but there was a process going on here, from here to here. You may not realize it, but if you look back on some things that happened to you in your lives, God had his hand on you. I want to tell this story. May not mean anything to anybody, but you know, I've told it before at church. I wasn't doing so well, and I got hired at the YMCA. That's for a remedial job, and I really didn't want the job. But, you know, because I cut grass and I had a business. And in the job, one day Lucille came to me and she says, you know, Leon, we need somebody on the weekend. And if you do the trash on the weekend, on we had, was it 10 floors? Yeah, 10, 11, 12 floors. If you do the trash, we can give you free rent. Now, wait a minute. I'm working there. And I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid minimum wage. They didn't pay no money. So I took the job. Okay. Time, process of time. My cousin's wife come to me and she said, you know, Leon, Malone College, they got a job open at Malone College. It's in the dish room. I said, oh, no, no, no. But to appease her, I said, what I'll do is I'll go over. He ain't going to hire me. I'll go over there for this job. So I go over there for this job. He hires me on the spot. Oh, he had me dead. So I take the job. I had to go back in this hot dish room and wash dishes. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Now, along with getting paid, I'm going to get a free meal, all I can eat. And they had, those women there could really cook. So, you know, God then got me free room and board, a job where I'm eating, and I'm getting paid from both of them. And I look at that, and I could, and some other stories I could tell you, but I ain't going to take the time here and tell you, but God is good to us sometimes we don't even know it. Some of the things that he's done for us in our lives. And I'll close with this here. I said Colossians 3. It says here, facts. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Seek those things above. These are words that when I go in there, that changed my life. But I had to look in the book, and I had to read the book. Just didn't come in church on Sunday and sit down. Well, I hope he hurries up and gets it done, because I'm ready to go. Football game is on. Not that I don't do that. You know. But, you know, or I'm going to go golfing or so-and-so, so-and-so. But I noticed not as much here as when I lived out there and I would get up and go to Ricky's church. There were golf courses all the way down the line. And they were full. I think our church at that time was very small, but 40, 45, 50. Golf courses had more on them than we had in our church. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's the world. That's not us. And like I say, seek those things which are above where Jesus Christ is. Let me close right here and I'll pray a little prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless each and every one of the hearers here that heard the word. I pray that they'll remember from whence they came and they'll put all of their trust in you. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank